Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today, this first Sunday of Advent. We are honored to be here with you all, and we are especially honored for those of you at home and wherever you are joining us today. I really hope that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving week. It was probably and possibly a little bit smaller and a little different this year than you're used to. And I was just talking to a friend just this morning, and he said, yeah, it was smaller and it was great, and next year is going to be so great. And I said, yeah, we can wait for that. And that's kind of what this season is all about, right? The season of waiting. And so we will wait for another year of greatness. But I hope that this Advent season is something that you have been looking for and searching for. And we are honored to walk through it with all of you. Well, let's take a moment now and prepare ourselves for the worship service ahead of us. Will you take a breath with a moment with me? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
How can we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus the King?
With branches of cedar, the tree of royalty.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus the Eternal Christ?
With garlands and wreaths of evergreen, whose leaves are ever living, evergreen.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, our Savior?
With arrangements of holly and ivy, symbolizing his passion, death, and resurrection.
How shall we prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, the Son of God?
By hearing again the words of the prophets who foretold the saving work of God.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
All glory to God in the highest.
Pray with me, please. Our most gracious God, as we enter into this season of Advent and we decorate this space, we pause to invite your presence into our worship center, our homes, and into our hearts. Lord, there are many of us searching for the hope, peace, joy, and love this Christmas. Help us to open our eyes and see the beauty and feel the power of your wonder. God, we are waiting for this world to settle, and we are hoping for peace. As we walk this journey to Bethlehem and to your Son, Jesus, help us to look for the light that comes from you. In your most holy name we pray. Amen.
Jeremiah 23, verses 5 through 6. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
You bring from above.
Advent wreath is a vivid symbol of preparation. The lighting of a new candle each of the 4 weeks before Christmas reminds us that something is happening, but more is yet to come. The circle of evergreens reminds us of the everlasting covenant offered in the birth of Jesus. The four candles symbolize hope, peace, joy, and love. Today we light the first candle as a symbol of Christ, our hope. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way of salvation.
Okay, I invite all the boys and girls at home to gather around for children's time. I am anxious to talk to y'all today. I hope that you have had a really great week off of school if you were on your break. And some of you I know traveled, and I hope you were safe and had a great time. And it kind of made me think about trips. When I was a kid, we'd take a lot of car trips. My parents did not like to fly in a plane, so we drove across the country in a station wagon. And if we were long trips, my sister Allie and I would ride in the back of the car and play these games. It was way, way, way years and years ago, boys and girls, when we didn't have to wear seatbelts. Isn't that crazy? And so my sister and I would lay in the back of the car and play these games and say about every 10 minutes, "Are we there? Are we there? I'm so tired of waiting. I'm ready to get to the trip." And so Mom and Dad would come up with these games for us to play while we were waiting to keep us occupied. We'd do the ABC game. We'd, play I Spy, all kinds of different games in the car. And I was thinking about this season of Advent, and I wondered if some of you might have already put up your Christmas tree. Maybe you did. And so as soon as the tree goes up in your living room, what do you want? Well, presents to go underneath it, of course, right? You don't want to wait and see it empty. And so you're ready and you're waiting and you're anxious. And when is Christmas? How many days until Christmas? You're asking your parents every day. And I know some of you make those chains every year to count down to Christmas. And I thought this year I'm going to give you a challenge. And I want you to maybe do something different. And if you do, I would love it if your parents sent me a picture of your chain. I am going to challenge y'all to make a chain. Each day, make a link, at least one link. And here's the coolest thing about this chain. It doesn't have to be one link per day. You can come up with a couple. And I want you, during the day, to look around in your house, to look around in your neighborhood, at your schools, wherever you are, and find something beautiful that was wonderful about that day that brought you joy, and add a link to your chain and start it and see how far you can get that chain by the time Christmas comes. And I started thinking about some links that I would do, and one of my favorite things I love about Second B is the tree that we put up in the Grand Hall, and I love it. And I walked in this morning and I saw the tree up and it's lit. And it's so beautiful. And I wanted to make that the first link to my chain. So I'm going to put a little piece of tape on here, boys and girls. It's so simple. And your chain doesn't have to be red and green. It can be. It can be white or purple or blue or your favorite color, pink and purple, whatever you want. There's my first chain. And I was so excited about Christmas and about today and hanging of the green. It's one of my favorite services. And so another thing that I really love is seeing the worship center be decorated throughout this church service. And so I made another link, and it's also green. Sorry, I didn't follow the pattern, y'all. I will pay more attention to that. Okay, so here's my second link. Add it to your chains. Very simple. And you can have several chain links each day of things that you're excited about. Maybe you get excited about a song that you heard on the radio, or maybe you see someone's lights in the neighborhood and that brightens your day, or maybe something happened at school and that was a really cool thing that you wanted to add to your chain. I just want you this Advent season, as we are waiting and as we are getting ready for Christmas, to find some joy and to find some beauty in the season, in the world that we are living in right now. And so I encourage you to make these chains and to share them with me. If you create one, I want to see a picture and see how they turn out. I wish you all kinds of fun and happiness throughout this holiday season, and I hope that you document it here on your chain. Will you guys all pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the season of Advent and for these children who are waiting. Lord, they are waiting for excitement, and they are waiting to open presents, and they are waiting for joy and for candy and for food. But Lord, help them to see through all of that and to see your beauty and to see your love that is this Advent and what it is all about. God, we thank you so much for sharing your love with us and for sharing your son, Jesus. In your most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
The manger, or creche, is placed as a reminder that Jesus Christ was born in the humblest of places. Because humankind would not make room in their heart to hold the Son of God, Jesus, who was born in the most modest beginning, has compassion on all of God's children, from the humblest to the richest.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 6 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
From ancient times, evergreens have been considered a symbol of eternity, a sign of God's everlasting nature. Isaiah tells us there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. Therefore, we hang wreaths shaped in circles and place garlands of green as a sign of everlasting life. These are symbols of Christ's gift of eternal life and of the celebration of Christmas itself.
Come, the Lord is with us.
Isaiah 53, verses 3a, 4a, 5, and 6. He was despised and rejected by others. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
For Christians, this passage from Isaiah reflects the sufferings of Jesus, who saved us from our sins by his death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead. In ancient times, holly and ivy were considered signs of Christ's passion. Their prickly leaves suggest the crown of thorns, the red berries, the blood of the Savior, and the bitter bark, the drink offered to Jesus on the cross. As we place the holly and ivy, let us rejoice in the coming of Jesus, our Savior.
Chapter 24, verse 17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the borderlands of Moab and the territory of all the Shittites.
The poinsettia speaks to us symbolically in several ways. The star-shaped formation of the leaves calls to mind the star that shone that first Christmas. In a less joyous sense, the color of the flower is blood red, reminding of the male infants killed because King Herod wanted to eliminate any threat to his throne. We sometimes forget this part of the story, which made it necessary for Mary, Joseph, and the Christ child to flee to Egypt.
Will you pray with me? Father, today I admit that I become infected, not by the dreaded disease of 2020, but I've been infected by busyness, by being in too much of a hurry, by putting too many things on my schedule. Father, today, in the midst of all of this pandemonium, give us patience, give us peace, so that we may be aware of the blessings that you continually give us and surround us with. Father, today, it is with that attitude of peace that we bring you our offerings, not just of substance, but of self. We thank you, Father. Thank you for giving that to us. In the name of you pray. Amen.
Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 4. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth.
In times past, the cedar was revered as a tree of royalty. It also signified immortality and was used for purification. We place the cedar in the worship hall as a symbol of Christ, who reigns as King forever and whose coming will purify our hearts.
And certainly a gift, a joy, a pleasure to worship with you, friends. Thank you for this sacred practice. During the colder months, often when running a marathon, it's quite dark in the mornings as one would prepare. And in order to prevent ruining my wife's Saturday morning at 4:30 a.m., and one would want to get up, not just to get dressed, but to also eat and have plenty of time to digest, particularly this time of year, if you're running one of these events, we'll call them, it's quite cold. And so you want to get to the start line early, and yet it's quite cold, so you want to have ample clothes on to be prepared. I can remember one morning in which I was not far from the start line, and often even during the summer months for these races, they'll have a shoe drive. You know, bring your old lightly used shoes and donate them to be recycled for various purposes. And during the colder months, they'll have a clothing drive at the start line of a marathon. You see, everyone's bundled up in these warm clothes, waiting for the race to begin. And as you inch closer to the start line, it's 30 degrees when you start at the back. It's a warm 31 degrees by the time you get up front. And as you get closer to the start line, what people begin to do is they begin to shed these outer layers. And so I can remember once with my friend, I was in what I'll call a West Texas robe. Okay, so it's an old hat, an old blanket, and then a trash bag. Okay, and so as I was approaching the start line, I took off the trash bag and disposed of it. And as I got even closer to the start line, I took off the blanket and took off the hat and threw it in the donation bin. And as we got a little bit closer, the buddy I was running with on this occasion, he took off his hat and threw it in the donation bin. He took off his jacket and he threw it in the donation bin. And he grabbed his sweatpants to be donated and took them down to his ankles. And he said the words, "Oh no." Now, typically speaking, when taking off one's pants, "Oh no," is not the words one would want to use next. went, typically speaking, in the presence of another person taking off their pants, oh no, is not the words one would want to hear. And you may chuckle, but we are in the presence of many people on the other side of that screen who are at this very moment not wearing pants. I've told our brothers and sisters who worship with us online, pants are optional, but underwear is required. Amen? So here my friend is at the start line of 26.2 miles. He's taken his pants off to be donated and says, oh no. Oh no. So what does he do? He throws the sweatpants in the donation bin and he takes off and we run together and he is in his underwear. And thanks be to God, 10 miles down the road, a lone spectator takes off his shorts and tosses them to my friend that he might continue on fully clothed. I had run with this group of people for 8 years. This was one of the first years I had run with this group of people. And every year thereafter, two nights before the race, we all received an email that said, be prepared. Set all of your clothes out in a room in which you can turn the lights on, in a room in which your spouse isn't sleeping. Set all the clothes out 48 hours in advance. Be prepared. And today we have prepared a sacred space in a sacred way. We have clothed this space. We have clothed even our hearts in preparation for the arrival, the advent of the King. It's incredible. I was sitting with my grandfather just a few days ago. He was formerly a rocket engineer, and he told me that he has spreadsheets that organize his Christmas decorations in his attic and in his crawl space. You see, box 1A has Russian dolls and string lights. Box 7C has ornaments and fake snow. Some of you are precrastinators. Precrastinators, meaning on Black Friday, you bought all the gifts. Meaning yesterday on Small Business Saturday, you wrapped all the gifts. Meaning on Monday morning, you will be first in line to ship thy gifts. You are a precrastinator. And there are, strangely, some of you who actually exist. Yeah. We believe, it seems, we believe in preparation in so many sectors of our lives and in our world. In sports, prepare. In business, prepare. In health, prepare. In romance, prepare. But do we practice preparation in our spiritual lives? Yeah. Hope is worth preparing for. Yeah. Hope is worth preparing for. You see, preparation widens possibility. Preparation widens opportunity. Hope is worth preparing for. I'm told not far from here in one of the ever important farming communities, again, not far from where we sit right now, there was a church that served a small community. This church was mostly farmers. The pastor was a part-time pastor and a full-time farmer. Everyone in the congregation was connected to the land and to agriculture by some means. The chair of the deacons, of course, was a farmer. And like years like this, there was a year in which, unfortunately, there was drought. There was a drought. And so the chair of the deacons, a farmer, called the church together for a night of prayer, a time to pray for rain, to call on God, to send forth God's abundance and grace to the land. And the chair of the deacons came there to the front of the church house, holding his umbrella, and looked out amongst his brothers and sisters and said, farmers, friends, neighbors, before we can begin this time of prayer for rain, you must first go home and get thine umbrella. Yeah. Hope is worth preparing for. Bethlehem, by most standards, was what we'll call in West Texas a no-cow town. A town of very little intrigue, of very little commerce. However, they held to these words of hope we just read together, that there would be some deep connection with Bethlehem and the Savior. There would be this connection, you, O Bethlehem, you, O little one, there would be some deep connection with you and the Messiah. And so, Bethlehem, I like to think, prepared. I like to think every year the elders whispered among themselves, do you think this might be the year the Messiah comes? And some of them believing that this might be the year, do you think Bethlehem would trim the hedges in the park? You know, well, you think maybe Bethlehem got together and said, let's clean the streets a little bit this year. Let us prepare what might arrive in your life and in your world if you prepared. What might happen if you prepared for hope? And yet, many of you, a lot like my family, you might not have your Christmas tree up. You might not have your Christmas decorations organized via spreadsheet in your attic and in your crawl spaces. You might not set your decorations out until December 24th. And as you do such, you might even debate with yourself and with loved ones the benefit of the task altogether. Some of you are not procrastinators. Some of you are procrastinators. Can a brother get an amen? And our world will rush to December 25th. Our world, what we prayed earlier, a beautiful prayer, will be such a busyness and chaos from now or even weeks ago until December 25th. And religious pundits and priests and pastors alike on December 24th, on Christmas Eve, will stand in front of their communities of faith and tell one another, there's no time left for it all to get done. On December 25th, this sermon will be given, and I know because I are one. I have given this sermon on December 24th countless times, but how much more beauty is there to receive on November 29th? It's okay. It's okay if it doesn't all get done. First of all, it might be detrimental to your soul to even evaluate what gets done and what doesn't get done. Brothers and sisters, those of you who are list makers, it may be good for your heart to just rip the list up. Second, I saw those heads shaking. I'll never rip the list up. Good for you. Second, it's okay if it all doesn't get done, because hope is not dependent upon individual activity. Hope is not dependent upon what you do. We have set the table together as a community. We have decorated the space together this morning. It's okay if you don't get your thing done, because we are holding sacred space together. Hope is not about what you get done. Hope is about what we're able to hold to together. For thousands of years, Bethlehem thought, knew, hoped for the reality that they would have a deep connection with the arrival of the Messiah. And the Messiah in Christ finally arrived, and they weren't ready. The Messiah finally showed up, and there was no room in town for the family. It's incredible. They had thousands of years to prepare for this, and they still weren't ready. And so thousands of years later, we don't speak of how ready Bethlehem was. Instead, thousands of years later, we tell of the grace of the innkeeper and the humility of a young woman. Yeah. Thousands of years later, we don't talk about the preparation of Bethlehem. We talk about the grace of an innkeeper and the humility of a young woman, because grace and humility are always better stories than preparation. It's okay if it doesn't all get done. Now the science is, and we measured this, we see this has been proven fact. Precrastinators, those of you who get your tasks done well in advance, the science is you have less anxiety. That's wonderful. And the science is, whether you like it or not, the science is, we measure this, we see this, this is proven fact. The science is that procrastinators are more creative. Yeah. And 2020 has been a year of anxiety. 2020 has been a year in which we're all running without our pants on. Yeah. So what might be created anew? What might in this moment, 5 miles in, what might be given to you? Not that which you brought to the table, but that which can only be given to you, that you might clothe yourself with. Because whether or not you are ready, whether or not you are prepared, hope is. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship together.
Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
As our final preparation for the coming of Jesus, the light of the world, we will light the chrismon tree. And in this time of Advent, whenever you see a lighted tree, let it call to mind the one who brings light into our darkness, healing in our brokenness, and peace to all who will receive him. May this tree remind us of the life-giving Christ, that we may always rejoice in the new life that shines in our hearts.
Thank you. Beautiful. Friends, may you prepare and may you let go and may you always be surprised by the hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ. Amen.